Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event. Fight fans worldwide, you've tuned into the number one undisputed boxing podcast today. This is the Boxing Breakdown. Now, your heavy-handed, hard-hitting host, Mark Roxey.
What's up, what's up, what's up, and welcome to another edition of the Boxing Breakdown. I am your host, Mark Roxey, and I am delighted to be with you. I am here in the studio with my partner in crime, Mr. Harold Hunt. What's up, what's up, what's up, Harold?
What's up now? How you doing, man?
I'm fired up, bro. I'm so fired up. You heard that introduction. You heard the introduction, man. I'm sipping on my vino, delighted to be here and excited to be with all of you tuning in. Thank you. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe button. And also make sure that you hit the notification so you know what we are up to when we go live. And thank you for being with us, man. And then if you are tuning in on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for being with us. It is a joy to come to you. So here we go, man. We are in the studio today. We have an amazing show. We have the one of the principals from the Hard-Hitting Promotions organization is going to be with us in just about 1 minute. And man, he's got a big fight coming up, and we're going to talk a lot about that fight. It includes, you know, just a variety of really talented Philly fighters and fighters coming from other areas. The fight is on July 23rd. It is called Boxing Dominion, right? And so we are going to have Manny Rivera here along with, hopefully Avery Sparrow will be joining Mr. Rivera in just a moment. And yeah, man, that's what's up. I'm excited, Harold. I'm excited to be with you. And I had Manny in the waiting room just a second ago. He bounced out. So let's see what happens if he comes back in here. And in the meantime, man, did you get a chance to see the outstanding fight this weekend?
Yes. I got a chance to see our boy Garcia.
Yeah, man.
And he looked really good. I can't say anything in particular. He did what he needed to do. He showed us his style. And yeah, he was taught a few things that Goosen put in place, and they actually showed up.
Yeah, man. So at the end of the show, at the end of the program, we will jump right into that conversation between Ryan Garcia and Javier Fortuna. It was an interesting fight this past weekend. I enjoyed it very much. But without further ado, man, I am going to welcome into the studio one of boxing royalty from Philadelphia and Hard-Hitting Promotions, Mr. Manny Rivera. Manny, what's up? What's up? What's up? You with us?
Yes.
Hello. How are
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I can hear you.
The card is in Philadelphia on July 23rd, and it features a variety of fighters. It's taking place at the Fillmore in Philadelphia, and the headliners are Avery Sparrow versus William Foster III, followed by Christian Tapia versus Fernando Romero. Christian Tapia is 14-0. And Fernando Romero is 11-0, so that is a real, real fight. I mean, it's going down, bro. I mean, there's no question about that fight. We also have Jan Carlos Rivera versus Nelson Perez. That's going to be an amazing fight as well. And then Jeremy Cuervos is also going to be appearing on the card. He is currently 13-1, has not fought for 2 years, is making his return to the ring in front of Philly fans. It's going to be an outstanding card. There's Juan Davila on the card versus Joshua Maldonado. And there's a bunch of other, you know, undiscovered prospects that are fighting as well. There's a, again, Juan Davila is a pro debut. So, you know, that's going down. And, yeah, it's going to be awesome, Harold. Really, really awesome.
I can see it. I can see the quality of opponents.
Yeah, so let's get Manny back. But I know you must be excited about this fight. So why don't you give us your version of the fight?
You know, it just, I'll be honest, and I probably say this every fight, is one of the best cards we have, you know, had the privilege to do. Not by my word or my mouth, but the last card we did, which will be aired, I'm going to use this as a little plug, it'll be aired tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Hard Hit Promo Facebook page. Our last card will be streamed live, rebroadcast at 8 p.m. on Facebook at Hard Hit Promo.
Wow.
But now, if so you can get a glimpse of what it is that we put together on a constant basis, that card was deemed as Philly fight of the year, Philly card of the year. So this is just a continuation of what it is that, you know, Hard Hitting Promotions does. You know, we don't strive for quantity. We strive for quality. You know, we have been known to do what they call TV network events. For the local boxing scene, we have not had the privilege since prior to COVID to do a network television. We have done Showtime in two occasions. We have done Telemundo in a couple of occasions. But we keep doing the same type quality cards, whether it's on a national network or it's for the, you know, for the local fans to come and pay their hard-earned money and enjoy what they're paying for. And this is what exactly this is. This is another, you know, this fight should be on ESPN, on Showbox, or any other network. I mean, we have a dual main event. I mean, you know, this main event could have gone either way with the two top fights, with Avery Sparrow and William Foster III. I mean, That's a toss-up fight. That's a 50-50 fight, you know, I guess because of the record and you know, he hasn't lost. Some people are going with Foster, but those that know Avery Sparrow, which is under our banner, know who he is. And if Avery Sparrow is in the best that he can be, he can beat anybody in boxing.
Well, Manny, check this out. We've got Avery Sparrow right here. I think I can get him into the studio. Let's see if we can pop him in.
Let's do that.
Yeah, man, let's pop him in because you're talking about boxing royalty in Philadelphia. And as you said, you know, record. This is an example of records that don't always match up to the quality of the fighter. And the one thing before, first of all, Avery Sparrow, welcome to the Boxing Breakdown, man. It's a pleasure
What's
to have
going
you.
What's on, man? It's a pleasure to be here, man. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. It's a pleasure. Finally got me on. Finally got everything squared away, man. It's a pleasure, man.
Yo, we are so excited to have you on the program. We were excited to have you last week. We did have William Foster in here. And, you know, he had some words. He said some things to say. And you know, he did say, you know, man, I hope Avery brings his best game and makes it fun because I want to have fun in there. That was kind of what he said. But you, listen, man, you have faced some incredible opposition. You fought pre-COVID. You fought COVID. You were in the bubble fighting. You've been fighting. I said before the program started that you're like a fighter's fighter, because you will fight anywhere, anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. And I've known that. I know that because I follow you, and I know that to be the case. So I wonder what's your take on this fight that you have on July 23rd against William Foster III?
Honestly, you know, to the naked eye and to everybody else, 14-0 guy going up against 11-3 guy is like everybody favors the 14-0 guy. But like I said, for my last fight, you know, I made a lot of changes, and not just in boxing, amongst my life, the way I live, my lifestyle, who I hang around, my friends, my family. You know, I'm focused on raising my two beautiful little girls, and I have a purpose in life now. It's not just, I wasn't just living for me, living for the moment, living day by day. You know what I mean? And so with my last fight, you know, I rededicated myself to the sport of boxing. And as you can see, my last fight, I got a 10-round stoppage, went in the guy's hometown in Pittsburgh. And that was because I was focused. I was back dedicated to boxing. And when I took them fights with Nova and Rolly Romero, I was not focused. You know what I'm saying? I was running around, taking the fights on short notice. And it wasn't the best thing for my career. So I got back focused, rededicated myself to the sport 100%. And now I'm ready to take on this fight. It's going to be an easy fight if I make it easy. If I do the right things, I think that is going to be a really, really easy fight for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, Harold, you have something you want to ask Avery, right?
Hey, Avery, how you doing, man?
What's going on, sir? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great, man. Hey, man, you know I did some research on you because I like your style. Hey, check it out. I saw you got those two titles that one night. You know, you pulled that IBA and you got the USA Pennsylvania State Super Featherweight title. You got strapped up twice in one night. I mean, what was that like?
Yeah. You know, it was an amazing experience to be back in the ring and then win in somebody else's hometown when everybody was looking at me like, oh, the kid's over the hill. You know what I mean? He's not focused. You know, all the doubters that counted me out, it felt good to get through that adversity, not just the fight, but everyone outside the ring telling me I can't accomplish certain things. So it was a wonderful experience to win those belts, but it felt even more of an accomplishment because I did it in his hometown and I got the stoppage, and it went against what everybody believed. And that's what I think is going to happen this fight. I'm just going to continue to show everyone that I'm new and improved, and I rededicate myself to the sport. You know what I'm saying?
So, man,
because I know you shut. I know you sucked the life out the room with when you in his hometown took all the belts and just went against the crowd's favor. So once you've done that, that's easy pickings. As you said, you're going to do it again this time.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Avery, tell me what you know about your opponent. You're going to be facing William Foster III. He's 14-0, as you mentioned. For those listeners out there that are tuning into the Boxing Breakdown who really don't know much about this opponent, tell the fans a little bit about what this guy is about and what we can expect from you when you face him.
I watched a few tapes on him, a few fights on him. He's a pretty solid opponent. You know what I mean? I don't see anything special about him.
You know, this is the thing, man. These guys have to fix this darn internet thing so that we can actually come to you with clean, crisp audio, right? But we appreciate Avery being with us. And, you know, actually, right now, what I'd like to do is bring in another guy, Manny, that we have on the card. You have El Hijo de Pueblo, Christian Tapia, who's going to be joining in just a couple of seconds. And he's 14-0. He's going to be squaring off against Fernando Romero, who's 11-0. And this is going to be another intense fight. These guys' records are so close. Manny, like, how do you do that? Like, how do you get these fights to be made?
Like I said before, can you guys hear me clear?
Yep, we got you.
Noise. I don't know.
We got you clear.
Okay, great. Like I said, you know, like I said before, you know, I'm dealing with real fighters, you know, real fighters, fighters that are willing to put up or shut up. They're not fighters that, you know, what I call in this era want to be, you know, social media fighters. You know, they want to act on social media that they're this great fighter, but they won't want to, you know, fight anybody. These guys are willing to prove it. They, you know, they ask me for these fights, you know, piggybacking a little bit about what Avery said. You know, that's the reason why we signed Avery. I'm a testament to what he said. You know, he's focused, he's dedicated, you know, he's living for a different purpose now. And I truly believe that. And this is the reason why this fight, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting fight. The world of boxing should watch it. Christian Tapia coming up. I mean, he's the number one fighter in Puerto Rico right now. You know, I don't want to throw shots, as they call it. But you see some of the fighters from Top Rank, you know, utilizing his opponents, the guys that he went through, to move up their stars or so-called stars. You know, we beat Luis LeBron. They picked Luis LeBron to fight their star.
Right.
You know, we fought, forget his name right now, the Cuban guy, two fights ago. He ends up, Christian Tapia ends up stopping him. I hear that they're going to put him with their star. You know, hey, listen, we're calling out all these fighters.
Right.
Let's put the best with the best. Let's put the best with the best, and let's see who the best is. We're willing to do business. We're willing to work with anybody. But Christian Tapia just keeps, you know, stepping in that ring.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you know, this is a kind of a card. Again, fight fans are going to want to be in the arena for this fight, because this is a fighter, you know, if you love fighting, these are all evenly matched fights. It is consistent with what you produce every single time. And I'm not just saying that because we are friends in and out of boxing, but I'm saying that because, Manny, the matchups speak for themselves. If you look at the matchups, and they're consistent time and time again, this is the kind of card that's worthy for a Showtime, you know, an evening on Showtime or any of the other networks. This is a great card. So I just want to thank you for putting this kind of a card on and for bringing to the fans the kind of fighter in Christian Tapia, who we have, you know, on the program. He's coming into the room. Look, can you translate for us, please? Here we go. Christian Tapia, welcome to the Boxing Breakdown. What's up? What's up? What's up? Dime, Christian Tapia. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Todo bien, gracias a Dios.
Yeah, so we're going to rely upon Manny to translate for us. So, Christian, how has training been going?
¿Cómo todo se está yendo en el campamento?
Todo bien, gracias a Dios. Ya lo encontramos a tres libritas del peso y estamos enfocados ya.
Hey, everything's good, thank God. We were about 2-3 pounds away from the weight. So we're concentrated, we're focused.
Wow. And how has sparring been going? You've been getting a lot of sparring for this one?
¿Cómo te fue el guanteo para esta pelea, la preparación?
Super, guanteamos con buena gente, tuvimos la ayuda de Sparo también, y vamos confiados en la preparación que hicimos para salir con la victoria.
Don, went great. Some of the great sparring among other names that we got was with Avery Sparrow. He gave us some great work, to the preparation to this fight. And, we're prepared and ready to get another victory.
I noticed that Christian has to get inside, and fans kind of want to know what techniques he uses to get in the pocket with his opponent to score, because a lot of times they're longer than he is, and you have to have a special skill set to get in the pocket and score effectively. We're curious how he does that, how he gets in behind the jab or a feint. Can you ask him that, please?
Cristian, él te está preguntando, él dice que tú tienes un talento extraordinario, tú tienes una habilidad de meterte adentro a un peleador, y por lo que él ha visto, casi todos los peleadores que tú has estado peleando, pues son más altos que tú, más grandes, tienen más distancia. Pero tú no tienes ningún problema en meterte adentro y hacer efecto lo que tú quieres hacer. ¿Tú le puedes decir qué estrategia, qué es lo que tú haces para poder ser tan efectivo adentro en la pelea?
Eso lo trabajamos mucho en el trabajo de gimnasio. Tratamos de hacer buenas piernas, buenos movimientos, la sombra, se trabaja mucho la sombra, y la estrategia que vamos a utilizar para ese combate, para el combate que vamos a enfrentar, y soy un buen contragolpeador que también en ellos puede ser más largo, pero en el contragolpe a veces ellos se tienen que pegar un poco más hacia mí. En el contragolpe yo los cacho. La bravura también. Estamos conscientes de que podemos coger un golpe, pero tenemos la certeza de querer pegar dos. Y así.
Preparation. Preparation is the number one key. We prepare. We train for this in the gym. We know that we're more than likely going to be the smaller guy. So, a lot of preparation, a lot of shadow boxing, a lot of footwork. Shadow boxing is very important in our training. The footwork is always key. And I'm a great counter puncher, and I know that. So a lot of times, although they are, longer or bigger fighters, I wait for them to make that mistake of reaching or throwing that shot, and it just falls right into my lap where I can come right in with a counter shot and stay in the pocket.
Good answer, because a lot of young fighters need to know how to get in the pocket to be successful. And once they run across someone with length, they don't know what to do. So they can easily watch Christian's fights and kind of see how that's done, because the preparation is geared toward that. So thank you. Thank you for that answer.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. I've been muting some of these, some of the audios to see, I don't know where that feedback's coming from. So also Christian, what adjustments do you think are going to be needed in this fight versus the last couple of fights you've had? You've faced Mason Menard. You stopped him in the second round. You faced Iron Alvarez. You TKO'd him in the 10th round. Your last outing was against Lewis LeBron. You got a 10-round unanimous decision with scores of like 98-92, 97-93, and 99-91. So you really are on a major roll fighting top opposition. And I wonder what kind of adjustments you need going forward for this next fight.
He tenido, Menal es un boxeador que me fue para frente, Popeye igual. Iron, también, siendo más largo, fueron para el frente. Y el rival que vamos a enfrentar es un rival que mete mucha presión, que va para el frente también. Esa experiencia que ya tuve, pues me van a ayudar mucho para esta. También se puede decir que son más mejores, tienen mejor técnica en cuestión de combinaciones. A lo mejor tiran menos volúmenes, pero tiran mejores combinaciones, que me va a ayudar bastante en cuestión de esa estrategia que vamos a usar para poder salir con esa victoria.
As you know, all three of those fighters that I faced were pressure fighters, especially Maynard and Luis Lebron. You know, they were come forward type fighters, big punchers. So, it's going to prepare me for this fight, with Fernando being a Mexican fighter coming forward, trying to throw hard combinations. It's definitely all a preparation for this fight. And, with that being said, we know we're more than well prepared for the victory.
So, listen, I want to thank you. Thank you for being with us, Christian Tapia. Thank you so much. Good luck on your fight. And I cannot wait to see you in the ring on July 23rd at the Fillmore in Philadelphia, man. Thank you so much for being with us, Christian. It's awesome. Okay. And so Manny, we want to get our next guest in here, man. He's also from your promotion. We want to get in Jeremy Cuevas, 13-1. Has not been in the ring for just about 2 years and is coming back for the Philly fans. They are in for a big treat in Jeremy Cuevas. So without further ado, man, let's welcome Jeremy Cuevas into the studio. What's up? What's up? What's up, Jeremy?
Yo, what's up, everybody?
What's up? How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm life is, made good turns for me, and I'm really happy.
Yeah, you sound so peaceful right now. You sound like so peaceful.
Yeah, I'm not
and so
sucked in.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That is what's up, man. So we are delighted to have you. This is the first time we've had you on the Boxing Breakdown, and you're coming in clear as a whistle. It sounds great. I'm thankful that you're here. If you're listening in and you're tuning into the podcast, thank you for being with us. If you are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, thanks for joining us. And you are listening to the Boxing Breakdown, and we have in the studio Jeremy Cuevas, 13-1. He's going to be appearing on the Hard-Hitting Promotions mega card, I call it. I don't know if that's overstating or not, but it is an amazing, amazing card coming up on July 23rd at the Fillmore in Philadelphia. Philly fans, y'all better get ready because it's going to be an amazing evening of boxing. Jeremy, I need to ask you, man, who is this opponent? Who are you facing?
Well, we know about him. He's an Argentinian guy, I believe. And I think he's about 17 or 7, something like that. But according to the record, somebody may look at him and say, he's going to go in there and do this and that. But I'm taking him very seriously. And I got 100% effort focused in on this guy. And I'm excited for this fight, very excited. And I can't wait to go in there and show everybody all the stuff that I've been working on, all my hard work, all the people that were behind me and everything like that. I can't wait to just, it pays off in the ring. I'm really excited to show everybody that.
I mean, besides knowing that he's from Argentina, have you studied any film on this guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I forget the last guy he fought. I think it was a Puerto Rican guy in Florida. And I was watching him and tough guy, but I've been in there with tough opponents already, and I'm ready. And the great thing about this is that I've got great sparring in this camp. Sparring with former world champion Tevin Farmer a lot of rounds.
Good work.
Sparring with other professionals who have great records, Deion Butts, all type of guys, you know. And it's just been really great for me because I've been able to see what exactly I have in the tank. And that was awesome to see that for me. So I'm really excited to just get in the ring and just show myself and show what I've been doing.
Yeah, man. Harold, have you seen Jeremy go? Have you seen him fight?
I have not. I noticed that you're coming back, you know, on a small little layoff there. And I got a question for you. You know, I know you've probably been sparring all that time, but is in your mind, is there a way to kind of train yourself to take punches at that level? Or do you get that kind of work in the gym? Or is it just a mental thing that you use? What's your thoughts on that?
In terms of the fight itself?
Yes, yes.
Well, you're going to think I'm crazy, right? But I don't know. I like to get hit a little bit during the fight, you know? It kind of gets me going, like, all right, I see this is a real deal. But, you know, you get hit in sparring and being within the type of fighters that I've been in there with this whole training camp, you've been hit hard. You've been hit with different angles of punches. You've been hit with this and that. So a punch is a punch. I got 14 fights already. I've been hit by the 8-ounce gloves. I've been hit by the 16-ounce gloves. I've been hit with everything. So I'm really excited to just go in there, do my thing, and I know I'm going to be more than ready.
That's great. That's great. That's great. Because I heard some fighters put, what, pickle juice on their face, Mark? Yeah.
It tightens your skin up.
So, you know, there's also many remedies to, you know, when you first come back from a small little layoff on how to, you know, be prepared for that kind of, you know, jolt. But obviously you've been in the gym a lot, as you just said. It's a mental thing, and you use that as motivation. So, you know, the way you approach it is, you know, really positive.
So who's giving you the toughest sparring so far in camp?
Well, we thought we were going to be fighting a southpaw. I've been sparring left-handed guys, right-handed guys. I've been sparring all of the above. But we thought we were going to have a southpaw opponent. So we started really, like, locking in with Tev.
Right.
And he's just a real crafty, tricky fighter. And what I admire the most about him is nobody ever, like, is so much to me in the ring, no matter who they are, is never so much to me where I'm like, oh my God, like, I've never seen that before.
Right.
But what I admire about the fighters with such like high credibility in the sport is that they know exactly when to get calm, exactly when to pick it up, exactly when to calm it back down. So all these things are things that I wasn't learning before and that I'm now learning. And being in there with world champions and former world champions and fighters that I used to watch when I was younger, like Mikey Perez and things like that. It's just awesome for me. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. I've got right-handed work, left-handed work, both work, switch work, all type of work. So I'm really excited.
That, you know, 205. For those of you that are tuning in that aren't really understanding what Jeremy might have said, I just wanted to go a little deeper into that. So you're talking about, Jeremy, about slowing down the fight. So the guy you're fighting wants to pick up the fight, and yet you can, in your technique and in your skill set, you can literally slow that fight down, is what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. You know, Tevin Farmer was telling me the other day that he was watching me sparring. He was giving me such great advice on, like, how to slow things down, how to pick things up, how to do about a mid-level, and how to control that opponent's mind without even touching them. So it was just really awesome. And it's just information that I feel like, you know, is innumerable.
Invaluable is what you're trying to say. Yeah, man. I get it. We all get it. You know, and to get that kind of quality sparring, that's not average sparring. You know, that's not going to the local gym and boxing with some dudes. That's getting, you know, world championship level quality sparring, which really, you know, I mean, Manny, you must be super excited to hear that that's the kind of level of sparring that Jeremy's getting, because that speaks to right to the ability of him being able to face tougher opposition as he goes forward, right?
No, absolutely. Listen, first and foremost, I'm just happy he's back. I'm happy he's back. He, you know, I think boxing has come full circle for him, meaning the business and the sport in general. More importantly, his life, you know, is now in a state that life has come with a purpose now, you know. You know, he has committed to himself. He's recently engaged.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Yeah.
I don't want me to say all that, but
it's all good. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of her.
Yeah. So me as a man, and understanding understanding the importance of, you know, what needs to happen outside of a ring for a fighter to be 100%, not just physically, but mentally inside of the ring. Those are the important things, you know. And I know he's there. I know he's 100% there. I have not witnessed one of the sparrings, but I'm always, you know, in tune, and I'm always talking to the trainers, and I know that that he's, you know, he's probably at the best he's been. Another thing, that Jeremy is very humble, so a lot of things that he's not going to tell you. Jeremy has been in camp with Tank Davis, you know, getting that type of quality of work, when Tank Davis was, you know, sending guys, sparring partners home early. Right. You know, Jeremy was the sparring partner that, you know, they tapped. They love the work. They love the you know, the type of quality that of work that he was giving them. So, you know, he's been there with the best. He's been there with the best. And I think right now his life just completely has come full circle, where, you know, we're going to see, you know, Jeremy and the man, the future champion that I always believed he was from his childhood days of being in the amateurs. You know, I was that guy that was there in his amateur fights and saw him when nobody saw the potential. And I'm just happy he's back. I'm happy he's back, you know, to what he was saying. You know, it was not an easy road to get him an opponent. Guys were saying yes, they were dropping out, undefeated guys with big records, this and that. And, you know, in the 10th hour, you know, we had to go across the pond and do what we had to do to secure a good and tough fight. You know, Jeremy was saying that his last opponent, you know, was in Florida. Well, his last opponent was Top Rank's fighter. I forget his name, Puerto Rican kid that just
lost. Nestor Hugo.
Correct.
His last pronunciation, I can't do so, but yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, you know, this guy has fought top oppositions. He is a tough test. Somebody that I would not put in front of unless I know what they have, unless I know they're ready. And although Jeremy has had that layover, that long layoff, I'm sorry, you know, I know he's more than ready. I know he's more than ready. It's his time to shine. And the world is about to see it on July 23. Once again, this is another fight that I can guarantee you would be a main event on any other card.
No doubt. And I said that at the top of the program. I'll say it again. You know, the last couple of fights, and Harold, you were in the arena to call. I don't know if it was the last. It wasn't the last fight. It was the fight before that. We were in the arena calling that fight.
I called it.
Yeah, man. I mean,
thank you, Manny.
Yeah, you'd like every fight was better than the next fight. I mean, than the last fight. It's just one fight after the other. The guys were in there banging, you know, putting everything on the line. And the fans were just, you know, they left. They got their money's worth. It was a fabulous evening having at the Showboat. And now here he is in the Fillmore doing it again. And I'm telling you, you know, I love boxing. I love boxing.
Well, the last fight was at Live Casino, Mark. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
The last fight was at Live Casino in Philadelphia.
No, I'm talking about two fights ago. So I'm saying what I'm suggesting, what I'm suggesting.
They're all good.
Yeah. They were all good. That's what I'm saying. But I'm here to tell you that they are all good. I mean, you could say that, you know, it's your promotion. But I'm saying that. And legitimately the cards are very competitive, and you know, like when you see Jeremy get in the ring, it's gonna be a fight. He's gonna be fighting.
I have to give credit. Sorry to cut you off, Mark, very quickly, but I have to give credit to that, to my great partner and brother. I mean, although you know,
Will.
We don't come from the same mother, but my great brother and partner Will Ruiz, you know, I got to give the nod to him for this unbelievable way of knowing and understanding the principles of what makes a good fight. Sometimes you could put two undefeated fighters, and it just does not turn out that way.
Yeah.
Hey, Manny, I got to step in on you right quick, man. Of course, great card. I don't know how you get fighters that are undefeated or they have one loss. But I noticed that you've been a matchmaker since 2015. You and your boy Will Ruiz, you guys did a show in Philly at the Sheet Metal Workers Hall, man. That was a minute ago.
That was the first pro fight I've ever went to.
So that inspired this gentleman right here. You've built a track record of great cards since then. I mean, that is a while back. Can you just give me the feeling of having your first one at that place?
I'm going to tell you, Harold, you know, it's funny you mentioned that fight. It was, I remember it was October of 2015. It was Mischief Night. We called it Mischief Mayhem. I cannot forget. That fight was supposed to be canceled. We had the blizzard of 2015 that year.
What?
The commission calls us a few days before the fight.
Manny.
We're canceling the fight, right? And I'm like, no, what do you mean? He's like, what do you mean? No. Everything has already been shut down. I mean, businesses, everything is being shut down.
Right.
You know, we have this big blizzard coming. And I said, you know, one of the best commissioners I've worked with, you know, Greg Sir. I said, Greg, I understand where you're coming from, but let me tell you something. These fighters have worked their butts off. You know, we, the promotional team, have worked our butt off. If nobody attends at this point, it's not about making money or losing money. I'm going to lose whatever it is anyways. But please, please sanction the show, you know, even if it's just us. You know, I'll get you a hotel, whatever it needs. And, you know, Greg said, you know what, Manny? You know, you got it, bro. Like, nobody says that. You have the perfect excuse of canceling the show. And, you know, you want to do it because these fighters are ready. Let's do it.
Just the name. Just the name. Sheet Metal Workers Hall is like, wow.
Great people. Hey, great people there.
Jeremy. Okay. Everything was shut down. How did you get yourself there? Did you have, you know, Huskies drag you there? How did you get there?
Let me tell you, Mark. Let me finish the story so you understand why everybody got there. It was a packed house. It ended up being a packed house.
Why? Really?
Yes. This is what I'm telling you. The blizzard was supposed to fall. I believe the fight was Saturday night. The blizzard was supposed to fall Thursday night into Friday morning, all Friday, you know, Saturday, and all morning of Saturday, no traffic, no. As the days went on, it moved till Friday night, Saturday morning, the Friday, Saturday. That's when Greg called me, like, we can't do this. I said, we're going to have, you know, I gave you the story. We went on. No snow Friday night. The morning, I remember waking up like a little kid at Christmas, looking out my window. This is my first show. This is my first show. I'm putting my life savings on this. You know, I'm looking out the window, not a bit of snow. I'm thanking God the whole time. So, okay, great morning. We start off. Bottom line was the snow did not start falling to 7 o'clock. Everybody was already in the venue when the snow started falling. We had 4 feet of snow by the time the fights were done, but everybody enjoyed those fights.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Hey, Jeremy, how did you get there? What did you do? You just, how did that, that was 5 years ago. That was a long time ago. How old were you then? What influenced you?
I'm 26 now. I might have been.
That was 7 years ago.
Wow.
7 years ago. Wow. I was like, I don't know. I'm not real good at math. But I think I went there with my father. And that was my first pro fight that I attended. And wow. And I went with my father, who, you know, I'm saying right now, he going through a big turmoil in his life, you know. He actually just went back out to the hospital now. So we thought he was going to be, you know, good to come to the fight. But, you know, I'm anybody who's listening, and to you guys who are interviewing with me,
you guys
can just, you know, shout your prayers out. And I would appreciate that. And, you know, this fight is going to be for him, and it's going to be for my fiance. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to give it all. Every time I'm in there, that's why people say my fights are so exciting, because I give it all when I go in there. That's it.
Hey, man.
Great.
Well, first of all, our prayers will be with you and your family.
Absolutely.
And they really will. And please, if you're listening in, you know, just if you are so inclined, please say a prayer for Jeremy and his family. And man, I want to thank you, Jeremy, for being with us, bro. And we wish you luck. We know that you're going to come prepared for whatever you face in the ring. And we are so excited to be there to see you and witness your greatness in the ring. Thank you for being on the Boxing Breakdown. And I just want to say that just in about a couple seconds, we're going to go to a quick little commercial break. And then when we come back, we are going to have Giancarlos Rivera coming into the Boxing Breakdown. So stay tuned. And Jeremy, peace and love, man. Be well. Okay, brother.
Thank you, man.
Okay. God bless you, man.
All right. You too.
Okay. Stand by. And here we go. Bam.
So much, I swear these people at my throat. That's on me, that's on mama's. On my mama, I can't take no more. So miss me with that drama. Get your commas, get your rest straight. Get your facts straight. Hold me down, I rise up on them like the tax rate. Keep my past straight, never lack faith. God been working, they gon' have to hold me back, man. And tell them, you can pick a side if you wanna. You already know who I bro with. You don't want no problems with me. Shackles on my feet, yeah, they won't let me be. Won't you set me free? Pray this on me.
Yes, yes, yes. And welcome back to the Boxing Breakdown. And thank you for tuning in on YouTube or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. And we have in the Boxing Breakdown currently Giancarlos Rivera, 5-1-0. He is going to be fighting on July 23rd at the Fillmore. He will be facing Nelson Perez, who's 5-0. Again, we've been talking about this the entire program. You've got a 5-1 guy facing a 5-0 guy. Like, what better fight could you possibly want? The fighters are challenging themselves. John Carlos Rivera, man, I'm gonna take my hat off to you, because here's why. Because you are stepping on, you know, stepping into the ring and facing a dude who's 5-0. Like, who does that? Congratulations and welcome to the Boxing Breakdown.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome, man. So welcome. Man, I got a question for you. I'm hot to ask you. Okay, you're a southpaw, right?
Yeah.
Right, now, the word is southpaws. No one wants to fight a southpaw. Lennox Lewis never fought a southpaw. All of this. So that makes you dangerous already. Okay, how do you use that southpaw to your advantage? You know, I believe I saw some footage of you a while back. Aren't you a switch hitter?
Yeah.
So, being a southpaw, how does that help you? I mean, how do you use that? How do you, you know, you got that natural angle because you're a southpaw. I mean, how do you put it in the play for your game?
Man, I just go in there and have fun, to be honest. I just follow the direction they told me in the corner and just go out there and have fun.
Oh, that's what's
so
up.
So you just do it naturally. You're not even really calculating at your left hand. You just go in there,
yeah,
take your training, and just apply it. Hey, that's a great mindset.
Yo, Harold. So John Carlos is from he's from Vieques, Puerto Rico, bro. Like, have you ever been to Vieques? Have you ever been there? Anybody? No. Manny, you been to Vieques?
I have not had the pleasure. John Carlos is our second fighter from that beautiful little island off the coast of Puerto Rico, Main Island.
Yo.
Vieques, but I have not had the pleasure to be there.
Yo, that island, first of all, is one of the most priceless, special places on the planet. So, John Carlos, I'm jealous. Did you grow up there? Did you live there? Like, when did you come to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I came to Philadelphia when I was 12.
Oh, wow.
I grew up over there and everything.
Dang, that's amazing, man. Yo, if you're listening in, all you guys listening in, bro, if you haven't been to Vieques, you got to go there, bro. It is amazing.
The beaches are off the hook.
It's beautiful down there, man.
Tell them, John Carlos. Tell them what it's like and tell them what it's like in Vieques.
The water. Tell me about the water.
It's clear. Clear.
Yeah.
You see anything coming.
Yo,
no pollution, I hear. You know, it's where there's no pollution coming from the ocean. It's still pure as it was 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, John Carlos, listen. So you said the water is blue. It's clear. It's like you can see everything coming. I wonder if it's the same against your opponent, Nelson Perez. Is that how that's going to go down? You think you're going to be able to see everything when you face off with him?
Man,
that's good,
I'm
Mark.
Just going to have fun in there. I just can't wait. You feel me? I'm excited to be back. I fought in the last card on the live casino, and it was fun. I just can't wait to be back, man.
Man, first of all, you're fighting on a great card. The Philly fans, yes. you know how they are because you already fought there. So you know the Philly fans are unlike any other fans, and they are very educated in boxing. They know what they're looking at. And, you know, they get rowdy, but they really appreciate good fighting. And so, you know, it's going to be something to watch you square off against Nelson Perez. Now, what tools are you planning to bring? I mean, maybe you don't want to tell us, you know, but for the listeners, if you can give us something, like, what are you going to bring to the ring when you face off against Nelson Perez?
First of all, we're just going to go in there and check him out first, you know, be smart about it. But I know I got all the tools to beat him, and I'm just going to have fun when it's time, you know?
Right.
Just get in there and be ready to go ahead.
So you also fought in the bubble. Mark, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Manny. Go ahead.
Let me tell you why. You know, you guys might not understand why John Carlos is all smiles and says he's just going to go in there and have fun. You know who John Carlos' main sparring is?
Who?
Who?
Jaron Boots Ennis.
What?
What?
That's his main sparring?
John Carlos's trainer is the great Bozy Ennis.
Oh my gosh. So that's why. So that's what's up. That's why he's got that big grin on his face. Okay, we understand.
And when I tell you, I've been part of those sparring sessions. When I tell you, Boots do not hold anything. He does not hold anything. And Boots loves sparring with him. So wow. I tell you that's why to him, you know, 5-0. Why are you doing it? You're 5-1. You know, why would you do that and so early? You know, I'm in there with the best. In the world.
The every best. Day.
Yeah.
Every day. So, you know, what can you do to me that
hasn't already been done?
Exactly. There's nothing. This is a walk in the park. It's like somebody that chews concrete, you're going to give them a piece of cupcake and you're going to say, are you going to have problems eating that?
Right. Right. No,
easy
I mean.
Work.
Yeah. And, you know, Giancarlo.
It's easy work.
Yeah. Well, you know, John Carlos has got a 57.14% KO ratio. So, you know, about half of the guys he squares off against, he puts to sleep. So, you know, yeah. I mean,
John Carlos is only lost for people that don't know. Well, you're 5-1. You know, who could you have possibly lost that was that good, you know, so early in your career? Well, you know, it was a great, a big mistake that was done, you know, in his career, you know, at such an early thing, they put him with an Olympian at 147 pounds. Guy was like 6'2", you know, just really just pop shot him, stood away. You know, really didn't do nothing to him, but he just had that much experience, that much size over him. The weight wasn't, you know, the whole weight class and above. And he just basically pop shot him and stood away from him and got the victory.
Mm-hmm.
So you could understand that's why he has a loss, which to me it doesn't even come into the equation.
Yeah,
let me tell you why I'm impressed. Just being in there with Boots, the mental thing that you have to go through, not just the physical stuff, the ring IQ he has to use just to not be beat up by Boots day to day. And if Boots keep calling you in here, that means you're challenging him with the boxing IQ, not only, you know, the IQ, but the physicalness. So I'm more impressed at this point with his mental sparring with Boots, you know, looking at each other, looking for these openings, using all that. And, you know, that's sublime. So like we just said, he's going to definitely outthink this guy. And obviously, physically, he's going to be in great shape. So, you know, I'm really, really impressed just because of who he spars with. And if he's a consistent sparring partner to this guy, you know he's on point.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if you look at John Carlos's record and you know, one thing that sticks out to me that's really it's glaring. If you actually look at his resume, it's glaring because the fight against Quinton Randall, Randall came into that fight. He was 6-0. He came into the fight, but that was also during the COVID pandemic. It was like right at the height of the pandemic. He fought in the bubble. And for those, like I was in the bubble. I had a fighter that I was part of the team. We fought in the bubble. That experience, that experience alone, for those of you tuning in that are listening, I want to bring you into this podcast, right? What you don't understand is that, you know, being in the bubble, first of all, you have to travel from the East Coast all the way to Vegas. You see probably 2 or 3 flights that you have to take to get there. Once you get there, and you're masked the whole time, once you get there, you go in, you check in, you go into a room, and you don't leave. The only time you leave is to go get food, and you have to be retested on the way back. And then you're in your room. So it's literally like being like sequestered in jail. Like you're in a cubicle. You can't go anywhere. And then you walk down the gauntlet. You're in the dressing room. You're getting ready. There's probably like one commissioner, two commissioners, and then you and your team, one or two team members, you know, everybody's masked. You walk down this little ramp gauntlet into the arena and it's dead silent. It's literally dead silent. And you go into the arena and you're like, where the hell am I? And you're out of shape. You're not the way you're supposed to be. You're on national television. Am I right, John Carlos? Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, man. So that one, and it wasn't, it was a unanimous decision loss. It was not a KO. It was not, you know, a dramatic stoppage of any sort. The scores were 59-55, 56-58, and 56-58. So, you know, I mean, really, you gotta, you listen, all I'm saying is buyers beware. If you're gonna fight John Carlos, you have to really look at that record. Make sure you peek his record so you know who you're facing, because it could get rough in there for you, especially with sparring partners like Boots Ennis. That's all,
yeah,
I'm saying.
I mean, I love sparring Boots, man. I learned a lot from him. You know, it's a great experience. And anything I need help with, he always asks him and he helped me out.
Right. So listen, Jean Carlos, what I want you to tell me or tell us that are listening, you know, that are with you and those listening in, especially your fans, friends, and family in Philadelphia and in Puerto Rico. What is it that you want to say to them about your upcoming fight?
Well, I want to tell them to tune in, man, because it's going to be fireworks and it's going to be an exciting fight, man. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I can see it in your face, man, and your excitement. You know.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Mandy cheesing just as hard as you are. So you guys are going to be on point, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up, man. And last, but not least, I want you to tell the listeners and all of our friends in PR, right? Who is your favorite Puerto Rican fighter of all time?
My favorite Puerto Rican fighter is the Camacho.
Hector of all time. Oh. Ooh, Hector Macho Camacho. That's what's up. Wow. Yeah. You and I got a chat offline during the fight, bro, because that's one of my top, that's one of my top five fighters. Yeah, I love, man, that.
All the time he fights is an assignment, man.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's a show.
Is that before the Rosario fight or after the Rosario fight? Because he was a different guy. After Rosario fight,
yeah.
I like the guy after the Rosario fight because he was more sensible. Before the Rosario fight, he was just taking everybody out,
right?
The hand speed, man. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're right.
There was two Macho Camachos, you know. So good choice. Personally, I like Cotto. Cotto was a monster, man.
Yeah, he is. He was a monster.
I like
Cody. Yeah, you good?
Yeah, Giancarlo. So
I like Tito Trinidad too, man. He had that crazy ass hook.
Oh, yeah.
That hook.
Yeah.
There's too many of them out there, man.
Yeah, definitely had the hook in the box for sure, Giancarlo. Yeah, I mean his hook was sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pick some good ones there for sure, man. And so Puerto Rican fans, American fans, Philly fight fans, you all are in for a great, you know, a great night of boxing with Jean Carlos. It's going to be something special. And yeah, man, I hope you guys can get there to the fight. It is on July 23rd at the Fillmore hotel and venue in Philadelphia, and it's going to be an amazing fight. And you can get your tickets, Jean Carlos. You know where to get the tickets?
I don't know the name of the page.
Yeah,
the link.
Let me throw it up, Jean Carlos. The tickets are available at the FillmorePhiladelphia.com or at Ticketmaster.com. And don't forget, Manny talked about this at the top of the program. If you guys want to tune in tomorrow, there's going to be a restream broadcast of the March 12th, 2020 card on Facebook Live at I believe it is a Hard Hitting promo on Facebook right there. I just threw the link up there at the bottom. So, yeah, man, make sure you check that out. And John Carlos, man, I cannot wait to see you in the ring on July 23rd. And Manny, man, thank you so much for making your fighters available to come on the Boxing Breakdown. You have blessed the fans of the Boxing Breakdown to get a peek into the background and a little bit of all of these fighters. And it's kind of unprecedented. It's pretty cool that we did it. And I'm thankful that we did it. And I know the fans will love it. So I'm sorry about the little bit of sound problems we had earlier on in the program. You will have to forgive us, but that is the internet. It is what it is. But you are listening to the Boxing Breakdown. Manny, peace and love. John Carlos, peace and love. Thank you for being on the broadcast. We'll see you next time. Yeah, man. Yes. And then Harold, man, listen. It's going to be a great, I told you before we did the podcast, I told you, listen, this is going to be a great card. And sure enough, you know, everyone that we talked about, Avery Sparrow, William Foster III, Christian Tapia. Oh, let me go back. Avery Sparrow, 11-3, William Foster III, 14-0, Christian Tapia, 14-0, Fernando Romero, 11-0. Jean Carlos Rivera, 5-1 versus Nelson Perez, 5-0. Jeremy Cuevas facing off against, I forgot the name of the opponent, but, you know, Juan Davila, who's his pro debut, he's facing a guy who's 1-1, Joshua Maldonado, and there's a couple of other guys that are appearing on the card as well. It's going to be a great night, man. And so tune in. Don't miss it. Harold. Yeah, man. So I did want to... just briefly chat with you a little bit about the Ryan Garcia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. I want to chat with you a little bit about that. Now, you know, now that the all the pomp and circumstance is gone, it's just you and me on the program now. Let's chop it up, man. Like, did you get a chance to see it?
Yes. And I got to say this about Ryan. Now, we know Ryan likes to go straight back and not necessarily get out. Use that discipline. That's because he can do it.
Yeah.
He can do it. Ali went straight back. He could do it.
Yeah.
Roy Jones did stuff. He did it. It was unorthodox, but he did it. Ryan does the same thing. But what was impressive to me was when Ryan got knocked down in his previous fight, it was a particular punch that he didn't see coming.
Right.
Goosen obviously taught him, worked with him, and now he blocks that punch on a regular basis.
Yeah.
To me, when I see a fighter add to the defensive part of himself at a later age of his fights, 23 fights, 24 fights, that proves to me that he is still learning and he's still able to incorporate new stuff. A lot of fighters get so far and they may go to training camp on a particular discipline they need to add. And when they get in the fight, they don't even do it because they go back to what they had previously.
Oh, yeah.
He actually did that. So that was impressive to me. The straight right hands while he was being attacked, you know, the counter right hands were pinpoint and they were clean.
Right.
So he did a lot of great work. He showed why he is who he is. And, he just kind of gave everyone an opportunity to see him. But the point about him going straight back, there's a million fighters out there going to say, oh, man, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to step with him when he goes straight back. But he knows how far to do it, when to do it, how to do it. You're not going to hit him. And guess what? He's going to counter you. So he uses that flaw, if you will, which really isn't a flaw, to lure them in so he can catch him with that left hook. The other thing is, he used that left hook to the head and to the body.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we know he's going to the body, taking him out, but he was able to place that thing to the head on several occasions and be very effective with it. So he impressed me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't agree with you more. I mean, I agree with everything you just said. I actually, you know, in retrospect, looking at Fortuna, Javier Fortuna, you know, one of the things that I recognize is that the matchmaking was impeccable because, you know, you have a guy who's totally a game opponent coming, stepping up to the mark, coming close to the, you know, combat zone. And Ryan Garcia is just taking advantage of that, both on the offense and the defense. So he's walking him back. And when Fortuna decided he wanted to fight, he wanted to try to get where he needed to go, you know, he was, you know, the body shots were there. As soon as he started bending and going underneath and rolling and slipping, body shots were landing on him. And that took him right out of that game. I mean, really, it was actually an outstanding performance. It really, really was. And
it was.
You know, good stoppage by the referee. And you know, Ryan Garcia advances. He you know, he's got a lot of big fights in the pipeline coming up. He's, you know, all the mental, you know, the mental health break that he took was, seems to be, you know, smart move, great move to take. And I think he's back on the scene. It looks like he is I saw that he called out Tank, and he said if he can't get Tank, guess who he wants?
Who?
He wants Teofimo Lopez. Yeah. So, you know, if he can't get Tank, he wants Lopez. So he's making some pretty bold call outs. And, you know, now whether or not those fights get made, you know, Ryan Garcia was quoted, you know, as saying like, well, you know, I'm going to make sure I record the negotiations, because you're going to see, you know, Tank, they're not going to want the fight, you know? So I think that's interesting. And, you know, there's going to be a lot more to come, but maybe we get a Ryan Garcia Tank Davis fight before the end of the year. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't necessarily see Tank launching himself at Ryan in such a manner to take advantage of what Ryan does.
Right.
I would believe that he would have to get underneath Ryan's punches. Mm. And that in itself would be interesting. Now, we've seen Tank do it before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tank will take a few blows just to get where he needs to get. My concern, or what I see, is Ryan is countering so nicely. That right hand is coming. Mm-hmm. That hook is coming. He's countering with that hook.
Right.
So, and we know what Tank does. So to me, that would be a great fight.
Right.
The smaller man would have to get inside on the bigger man, but the bigger man is going to have to keep that smaller man out. Mm. And that's going to be, you know, the drama of the fight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think there's a lot of variables. There's a lot to be broken down on podcasts to come. I'd like to do an entire podcast coming up in a couple of weeks once we get a little closer and we're able to kind of analyze that fight a little bit better. But definitely, I'm excited about the prospect of a Ryan Garcia Tank Davis or Teofimo Lopez. I like to see either one of those fights go down, man. And they'll be great. And Harold, there's another fight that took place this weekend on Showtime. I think it was Showtime Boxing. It was Mark Masago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I can't pronounce his name. It might be the wine, but yeah, Masago. Right. He's from the Philippines and he fought Ray Vargas. And that was an amazing, that was a great fight. I don't know if you guys saw that fight. You know, those of you tuning in, the fight was amazing. Go back and take a look at it. You know, it's an example of, you know, the shorter fighter, the shorter world champion in Mark Masago fighting Ray Vargas, the taller, lanky fighter from Mexico. And you know, it was interesting. You could see flashes of Manny Pacquiao in Mark Masago. And, you know, Ray Vargas, you know, he's got his own style. Amazing, you know, counterpuncher, really, really great use of distance and range, really understands how to use his range. But, you know, when pushed and pressed, he'll fight like a typical Mexican fighter, even though he's longer range. But I thought one of the things that kind of, oh, and by the way, it's duly noted that it was Nacho Beristain, world Hall of Fame world championship trainer, facing off against, you know, another, you know, Hall of Famer, you know, world class, top notch trainer in Freddie Roach. And these guys have had rivalry, Manny Pacquiao, Juan Manuel Marquez, three times. You know, these guys are always at each other's throats as trainers, and I love it. I'm sure they go out to a nice steak dinner together, but, you know, when it's time to fight, they are definitely, they come with their game plans, and, you know, Nacho's a little ahead of the game right now on Nacho Varestein is a little ahead of the game on Manny, on Freddie Roach, you know.
You hear me say that at the interview, this is my 6th or 29th world champion.
Yeah.
He wanted that clear and precise because he has lost to Freddie the last three times.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could see the glee in his face that his fighter won that fight. I was like, the fighter's fault, but these two were going head up. And Nacho, he enjoyed that victory. His face was lit. And he interjected his comment because he wanted the world to know, this is my 28th or 29th champion, and at the expense of Freddie Roach.
Right. 50 years. I think collectively they have over 80 years, 90 years of you know, being trainers. You know, it's like, I think Nacho Varestein has been a trainer for 50 years, right? I mean, come on. Like,
hey, guys, Mark, who's your adversary trainer? You know, the other trainer across the ring, and you'd be like,
My adversary.
I need to beat him every time.
Well, personally, you know, my adversary trainer, I don't have one because I'm an undefeated. I'm undefeated right now as a coach. I haven't lost a professional bout yet, knock on wood. So I'm counting myself as an undefeated coach, and I hope to stay that way. And so I don't really have any adversaries yet, but I'm sure I'll develop one in the next 50 years. Hopefully, if I'm lucky enough to be around for, I'm not going to be around for 50 years, but even 20 years, if I'm around 20 more years, hey, you know, whatever. But, you know, anyway, back to the fight, Mark Massacchio, you know, this is a little, you know, he's a smaller guy, stout, compact, quick on his feet, easy to get to right and left outside the shoulders, yo-yoing in and out, bouncing, dropping, slipping, sliding. Really, really tricky fighter. The problem is he didn't use, Harold, he didn't use his jab in this fight. He just, I don't know what happened, but the jab was ineffective. You know, he needed to pump that jab once, twice, maybe even three times, throw a feint in between, in order to get into the position where he could actually do the work that he does so well. And I just don't know why that wasn't working.
Was it taken from him?
Well, no, I think it wasn't taken from him. He could have used it. He certainly could have doubled up on the jab, used the jab. I mean, how do you not use a jab against a long, lanky guy? You got to use the jab. I mean, that's pretty basic.
Well, you know how I always like to throw up old fights, okay? De La Hoya and Floyd.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, De La Hoya stopped throwing that jab. What happened?
Well,
because the retaliation from that jab coming out there caused him to stop throwing it. And when I say maybe his jab was taken from him, you know?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I mean, I'd love to interview him. I'd love to talk to him and find out what he was thinking, why he didn't throw the jab. It's certainly, you know, a mystery to me. it's total mystery to me why you wouldn't double up on that jab to get closer to your target. Because when he got close, Harold, the work that he was doing was fabulous. And this leads me to my next point. I did not score it the way one of the judges had it. So I really felt that Mark Massacchio won that fight. Pardon me, I'm not pronouncing your name. I think he won the fight by one round. And it was a close fight. But, you know, the judges, you know, again, one of the things, and this is, I'm going to say this for you listening in, one of the things that just always dumbfounds me, I just did 17 fights this weekend, Harold. You judge fights all the time. And whether it's amateur or pro, you know, the thing that boggles my mind every time is the guys that set up boxing just blow me away because, you know, what they understood is that based on your viewpoint and where you're sitting, you're going to see a completely different fight from the other judge. So if there's three judges, five judges, no matter how many judges are in play, you're never going to see the same fight depending on where you're sitting around the ring. And so, you know, watching it from television, when you have a jib, you know, a boom and a jib moving around, catching the fight for you, telling you the story, they're giving you the story on television through a camera. When you're in the arena and you're sitting down low at the ring apron and you're looking up through ropes, you may or may not see the same fight. And you have a referee who's also walking around they do their best. They're well-trained, but you still miss, like, you know, if the difference between winning the round and losing the round was one punch and the referee is in your way, you don't get to score that punch. And so it ends up being a situation where I don't know how they got to their scores. I don't know. But I'm telling you that I didn't score it that way. And, you know, some of the earlier rounds were, you know, could have gone either way. And I felt that the last three rounds, I gave the last two of the three rounds to Mark Masagio. So, and then when I looked at the scorecards, they gave those three rounds, the last three rounds, to Ray Vargas, and that made the fight kind of go the other way. So, you know, world champion, man, world champion gets dethroned. They take Ray Vargas is the new, right? So, congratulations to Ray Vargas.
Yes. His confidence was outstanding. Mm. I mean, he did not waver in his confidence.
Yeah.
Whereas a Filipino fighter, I saw some wavering in confidence.
Really?
And then when he had him hurt, he didn't, when I say he didn't, but for whatever reason, he didn't finish the show when he had him hurt.
Yeah.
And I chalked that up to my basic understanding of the confidence
yeah.
that Nacho's fighter had was just so supreme. Like, there's no way this guy can beat me. I don't care if I'm hurt. He just had it. And I kind of saw a wane in the gentleman who lost in his confidence.
Right.
Not his skill set, but his confidence.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. You know, there's nothing I can say except I totally agree. I think it was interesting to watch, and it was a great weekend of boxing, both, you know, in the hole, you know, in real action, and watching it on TV or wherever you, you know, tuned in. It was, you know, the boxing fans were treated to a good night of boxing. And yeah, man. And Harold, we had a great podcast tonight. I was a little bummed out about the early, you know, I don't know what's up, man. Some places just don't have the internet that you and I have, but our broadcast has been going, you know, super, super great here toward the end. And I apologize if you were listening in and you were getting, you know, little minion voices or whatever that was. We do our best here at the Boxing Breakdown to deliver quality sound. And that part of the podcast was a little goofy around the edges.
Out
so,
of our hands.
Yeah, out of our hands, man. But you know what? We're delighted to be with you anyway. It's always a journey. It's always exciting. And Harold, I'm going to run this trailer one more time, and then I'll come back and we'll say our farewell to our audience. Okay, here we go.
Let me go. Let me go. I've been going through so much. I swear these people at my throat. That's on me. That's on mama's. On my mama, I can't take no more. So miss me with that drama. Get your commas. Get your rest straight. Get your facts straight. Hold me down, I rise up on a like the tax rate. Keep my past straight, never lack faith. God been working, they gon' have to hold me back, man. And tell them, you can pick a side if you wanna. You already know who I bro with. You don't want no problems with me. Get these shackles
on my feet, yeah. They won't let me be. Won't you set me free?
Yes, Harold.
That music. You tell Manny that I love that music there, boy. It fits perfectly with the action, and that is a very popular piece of music right now, and it's just on point.
Yeah, man. And so the fight again. The fight is Saturday, July 23rd at the Fillmore in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Do not Miss the fight. Get your tickets, man. Support local boxing. You're going to love it. These guys, it's world-class boxing. Right in the heart of Philadelphia. You do not want to miss that. And without further ado, Mr. Harold Hunt.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being with me on the program. Thanks for co-hosting the program. Thanks for interviewing the fighters. Thanks for giving you your boxing commentary. And yeah, thank you for tuning in on YouTube. Thank you for sharing, liking, and hitting the notifications. Thank you very much. If you're tuning in on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, we appreciate that. And we hope you've enjoyed being with us tonight. And until next time, peace and love. On behalf of Harold Hunt, I am Mark Roxy, the host of The Boxing Breakdown. Peace and love.
Fight fans, join host Mark Roxy and special guests as they break down all aspects of the boxing world, including news, business, management, training, promotions, fan reactions, upcoming events, matchups, future boxing stars, title fights, state of the boxing world, and all the stuff you don't see when you watch boxing. This podcast is released each week on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live streamed on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook Live. It's The Boxing Breakdown, hosted by Mark Roxy.